Hey, and welcome to Crippled System, episode 265. My name is Andy.
My name is Dan.
And I'm Dave.
Hey, holy cow, that was nice, clean, and efficient.
We did an intro.
Yeah.
It only has taken us almost 300 tries.
Yep. I still haven't gotten a notification that we went live, though. I don't know.
It's okay.
Obviously, we're missing a Nathan here. We punished him for calling out one of our users. No, we didn't.
What did I miss last week?
We were angry at the world.
That goes without saying.
And by world, I mean CID.
Yeah, somebody made a post in CID, and we had jumped all over that.
Okay.
And
did they deserve it?
It was not the dumb one.
Oh.
The worst. It was just one that Nathan and I both had particularly strong feelings about.
I mean, this is something that people post online, so saying the dumb one is not specific enough.
Yeah, no, I mean, there was a thing that was posted in CID, and it wasn't exactly appropriate for CID, but the person that was posting it was trying to be sarcastic, trying to, you know, basically perpetuate his memes and that. And Nathan and I think Dan and myself, we all kind of jumped all over it. And it wasn't any... We weren't trying to put down that person itself. It was really more so their contribution to the CID was looked down upon. And they kind of took it a little sad, but they seemed okay after
they rolled well with it.
Okay.
Yeah. We got a meme out of it then, too.
Yeah. Well, that's important.
Yeah.
My online degree in memeology, demands, you know, that kind of exposure.
So again, I mean, I personally messaged him and everyone else. I think Nathan messaged directly on the thread there, but yeah, we didn't really mean it.
And I don't do outbound social media engagement. So
yeah, we're just really more so just
we are grumpy men in the basement.
Over the top for content is really the main thing.
Wait, hold on a second.
Wait.
That's the Alex Jones defense.
Wait.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, that's true, too.
No, Dan, it's like you realize this, is that we are grumpy men with beards, and we are talking underground. We're dwarves.
Mm-hmm. I'm too tall to be a dwarf.
Shh. We are now a dwarf podcast.
We can set up perspective, and you can easily be our sizes.
Okay.
With a proper camera angle.
Just point the camera up.
Sure. I mean, I'm moving up in the world.
According to the picture here that we're on the stream, I am much bigger than you.
That's true. I say. So, and besides, I'm moving up in the world. Two weeks ago, I was chained to the wall.
Oh, yeah. over there where we were podcasting.
Yeah.
So now I'm just getting forced perspective.
Yeah.
You know.
So were we gonna jump right ahead into Zappity Grumbles here?
I was, and then I clicked something because it asked me if I want to add a phone number to Crippled System, and now I lost them.
You don't need
vamp for a minute.
Vamp for a minute. About what? What should we vamp about?
There we go. I got it.
Talk about Rodimus Prime sitting on top of Forbidden Fortress.
Yeah, you could do that. Those are words. Actually, we might have some announcements.
Oh, we have. Well, announcements. Next week, there's a team tournament that's happening over in Cedar Rapids.
Yes.
That I think most of us are going to be at.
Yes. And
unfortunately, I'm going to be at it.
You're going to be at it?
Yep.
Okay. What team are you on?
I'm on the new team of Rick, Nick, and Andy.
Oh, cool. And I didn't realize you guys were coming. So Jake finally managed to guilt Rick into coming.
Correct. That happened today at Rick's event.
Okay. Which, and you too?
he just asked me off chance, and I thought I was just going to be part of one of the normal teams. I didn't know I was being mined for a whole new team.
Yeah.
And I didn't know I was being mined for a whole new team that would then bring a bye to the event, because it makes it odd number of people or odd number of teams, which I might rethink it if it's in fact going to be odd, because...
Hilltop Murder Mobster.
Is that our name? Is that what Nick made our name be?
No, the name is randomly generated and subject to change.
Okay.
Otherwise known as Micah wanted to put something in. So
I mean,
I'm fine with randomly generated and subject to change.
I can, yeah. I mean, I am the admin of the site that hosts this. I can change your name to whatever I want it to be.
No, I like randomly generated.
Okay. I mean, it's not. That's not what it is now. Like I said, it literally is Hilltop Murder Hobos or Murder Mobster. Actually, we should just change it to hobos.
Murder hobos? Yeah, that's fine. Ah, yay. So that's happening. Adepticon's happening. Yeah. That's coming up soon. I'm supposed to have a whole bunch of shit painted by then.
I may not be going to Adepticon this year. I don't know. Schedule's going to be rough.
I have to paint stuff.
Yeah, there's that.
Like piggybacks.
Too. Do you want to paint more stuff for me?
Let me see if I can get my piggybacks going soon, and then we can talk painting.
Yeah.
If I
need to borrow all of your Crucible Guard.
None of them are. Are any of them actually painted? I don't think any of them are painted.
Oh, I just realized something.
Go ahead, Ben.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We got it.
That actually went pretty well.
It did.
I should have.
And you miss. And everyone missed the basement slalom because our camera doesn't actually pan.
I know.
Because that would have been fantastic.
I should have a secondary camera.
Yeah.
You
I
should.
Have,
yeah.
Yeah. And that way also, you know, we can edit into post like some yakety sacks because David and I didn't do anything to fill the time.
No. He'd probably just watch me swerve around.
Yeah.
This is why we need a soundboard.
Yeah.
What were we talking about before I realized that I should turn off the heat?
Announcements, team event, team Adepticon, you trying to get me to paint stuff for you.
Yes.
These are all subject to change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also Guild Ball has some news.
Guild Ball has some news. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Guild Ball has got some interesting stuff happening. So they have pretty much for their newer teams that are coming out, they're going with a direct-to-store option, so mm-hmm. stores can actually go and order stuff directly through them.
Will stores know about said option?
Yeah, you should inform your store if you have Guild Ball in your that you want them to get. They just released 4 new veteran captains.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not veteran captains, but 4 new captains for all the teams that already have a minor guild.
Yep. So butchers, hunters, fishermen, and engineers.
No. Morticians. Did you say morticians?
I think
butchers, morticians, fishermen, and
engineers.
Who's the engineer one?
Wait. Miners.
No. There's four captains.
The miners are not out yet. They have a minor. They have a minor guild, but sorry, I'm mixing up things coming out. Who is the last one?
This is great content.
Whatever.
This
there's a fourth one.
There's four captains.
The important thing is it's not brewers, so I don't care.
Yeah, but butchers get freaking veteran boar. Which is probably the reason why they made him a new captain, is because boar with any of the other... Boar is broken by himself. If any of you don't know Guild Ball, boar is a massive killing machine for the butchers.
So it's one of those things where the easiest way to balance him is to make it so that he cannot be the new version cannot be taken...
With the old version, yeah. Yep, when they add a new captain.
If you can't beat him, promote him.
Yep.
Yeah, hunters, butchers, fish and spooks, and morticians.
So I just threw a random fifth one in there for no reason. Okay, very
you
well.
Said engineers, but yeah. I mean they're about to get their minor guild. So. Yeah. But yeah, so you can actually go to your local store, or if they hook up an account with Steamforge Direct, they can order those models directly through them.
And then the store can directly pray for international shipping.
Yeah, I don't think the store is actually paying for shipping, though. That's,
oh, I
that's
didn't say
kind of,
pay. I said pray.
Yeah, pray. Okay, yes. But I'm sure Steamforge will actually set up something in the U.S. I think they did that for... I think some of them might actually be coming from the U.S. Because
no one in the U.K. understands how to cast resin?
No one in the E.U. knows how to cast resin.
Is Britain still in the E.U.? I can't remember these days.
Soon to be not.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I've lost track. I just know that, you know, Theresa May is like 0-8 or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know the exact thing. All I know is that we declared a national emergency for a wall, for a border crisis that doesn't exist.
There was an article in one of the British newspapers that was saying that they may not be able to, they may not have shipping available to import medicine into the United Kingdom after Brexit.
Hey, we're not number one.
Wow.
I mean, these past few years have not been good for anyone in the Anglosphere.
Yeah. In the what?
The Anglosphere.
I don't
know. Us in England.
And Canada and Australia. Australia may be doing even worse than us.
That's true. Canada's not bad.
Yeah.
Mostly because they actually got out of the Harper years.
Yeah. I mean, at least Australia has their own island set aside for the border crisis. I mean.
God, that's terrible.
It is really horrible. Look that up sometime and then.
It's as bad as you think it is.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. You pretty much take the U.S. border scandal and just up it up a little bit more.
I mean, but in fairness, the Anglosphere probably deserves it.
All right, so we should probably talk about other things. We had a couple zappity grumbles that will probably stave off into a bunch of topics.
Yeah, I'd say none of these are short. So we'll just get into that.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
All right. First one, Adam Pricer wants to know, love to hear about some ways to deal with Iona, Tharn, and Makeda 3.
Well, for Iona...
First the pithy answer.
We can wait for the Lord of the Feast to get nerfed, because there is some expectation that that's going to happen, or some rumor that there's going to happen.
But Travis didn't need the Lord of the Feast. He just had what's it called and what's...
Well, it was the Lord of the Feast and Call. Killed.
Round 3... the last round, it was just Bridget and Call and Hunter's Mark. And the fact that Travis had played 25 minutes of War Machine at that point, and his opponent had played 7 hours of War Machine at that point, which led to Makeda being several inches further forward than she needed to be.
Oh, also, as a side note, that's how you deal with Makeda 3. Correct. You play Tharn's Tharn Circle.
I don't know. I think Protectorate is pretty good into Makeda 3. And there are Protectorate's good in Makeda 3 and Iona. The thing Protectorate's concerned about in Circle is Wormwood.
I mean, what other than like Borka 1 with a Mountain King, what wants to see Wormwood? Rusk 2, I guess. All right, we got two lists. Play Borka or Rusk 2.
Yeah.
You guys are looking at me for any kind of words of advice, and my words of advice is I haven't played War Machine for almost a year now.
Sure. So and in this case, we're going to have you put on a clock, Nicholas, and every so often just go, okay.
Well, no, but I can at least, because I mean, for one thing, for myself, I'm going to have to deal with Iona. More likely, I'll be throwing Iona. What is it that I have to worry about Iona? So, and then we can figure out ways that we can deal with it.
There's also, I mean, this is also a team event, and one of the great things about team events is that somebody has choice of what the tables look like. When you've got Iona on that, you have two options here. One is that if the other guy has control over table and they put Iona on a table with a forest in the center, then that's a grenade and somebody jumps on it, and you hope your other teammates win because you're fucked.
Sure. No, but I mean, ignoring team events, basically, I think probably a great way to tackle this is figuring out what they use and then figuring out something that you can counter it with.
Sure. So Iona, the things that she does, she has Surefoot, so it's a def and anti-knockdown buff.
Okay.
She's got Hunter's Mark.
From what I hear, a lot of Hunter's Mark.
And well,
Circle has solos that they can take in all or most themes that cast Hunter's Mark already.
But she has it
as a spell. So
and
she's got
she's more accurate and stuff like that. She has leadership. I think
it's leadership.
Tharn gain dodge.
Okay, so those high defense things are difficult to hit, and then they can possibly move even closer.
Yep, and then her feat is models gain +3 strength, +3 armor. Tharn models gain +3 strength and armor, and friendly faction warrior models gain rerolls on all attack rolls.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so kind of like a mix of Ostrom's fetish. Kind of
similar,
and then okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a big
debuff, but yeah, it's just a big. It's a brick that hits very hard and is already naturally fast and has Pathfinder.
Okay. Yeah,
and then there's two flavors of it. One shoves just a ton of Ravagers at you, and the other one runs Tharn Wolf Riders.
Well, virtually all of them most of them throw double Ravagers, and then it's what you feel. It's what you. I mean, there's a core that everyone has Ravager, max Ravagers in UA. Everyone has Brigand and Call, a Lord of the Feast, a pot to fuel both of those two, And then most lists on top of that take Max Tharn with UA again. And then the big question is what's left over in the remaining slots. And there are a number of options for that. Bloodweavers show up and Wolfriders show up. There are some lists that run two units of Wolfriders, but they're not as common as Tharn or Tharn Ravagers. Yep.
Oh, she also has randomly has Pursuit, and she has Blood Boon, and...
She's stealthy. That's annoying. Yep.
She has stealth. She has dodge. She has dodge built in.
She's got Amon's rule that you can't see her. So, but the big thing is just she really ups the numbers on stuff on her feet turn. So you really have to figure out a way of surviving her feet turn.
And okay.
Once you survive her feet turn, then stuff becomes easier to deal with.
Sure, sure.
It's just that feet turn is going to hurt because especially if there's a force in the middle of the table, they are going to get the alpha on you.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest problem design-wise with Iona is that she is so... There is such a shift in power on whether or not there's a central forest. Because if there is a central forest, there are only a handful of casters that are particularly good into her. If she doesn't have a central forest, there are a lot. There's a lot more you can play into her. I mean, admittedly, I have been playing heavily into Protectorate, so I'm thinking in that direction. I mean, on Protectorate, I mean, Harbinger is probably pretty good universally because Harbinger shuts down everything for a turn with her feet.
With her feet, yeah. Her feet would definitely help out against that because they can't run through it. It looks like they're still kind of, at least for them, they're still limited in their range, what they can do, as in...
Yeah, I mean,
bushwhackers.
You can get one thing. Like, if you get a hunter's mark off, Tharn threat 13 without vengeance,
which is good, but not amazing. Travis says Brigid and Call did more work than Lord of the Feast.
Call might be the single hardest hitting model in the game at this point.
That's definitely something that's worth mentioning because we say before that what Iona brings is a lot of numbers, and Call is one of those things that stands out because he is are they 8 points or 9 points for the pair of them?
Seven?
Okay. Sorry, I have a web page that keeps track of those numbers for me. But yeah, Brigid and Call are a 7-point unit, and Call is fast and he hits harder than a heavy war beast. And it is effectively the point cost for them doesn't matter that much because they're effectively a theme benefit of Devourer's Host. And this is just another thing that they bring a lot of numbers.
How does he hit harder than a heavy war beast?
So he starts at 13, he's got Brutal Charge, he's got Gang, and he's got Prey.
Okay. Then now I see it.
Yeah. So with Iona, he's plus 9 on the charge attack.
Yeah, and that makes
and
it a
then
nice
plus
19.
7 on everything else.
Yeah.
So it's basically a mini.
He's 22.
He's 19 plus. He has Gang on there too.
Well, that's including Gang.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he goes up to 22 on the charge attack and 20 under on his feet, and 20 on everything else. I mean, the trick to dealing with Brigid and Call is that he loses +4/+4 if Brigid is dead, and Brigid dies to blast damage.
She is stealthy though, so that's
sure. But if you can hit her, she's only armor 12. With 5 boxes.
So for me personally, then, if I'm going to be taking just a basic list for Kador, my two lists, I've given away to you guys now, more likely is going to be Old Witch 2 with Wolves of War. And then the other list is probably going to be my Karchev list that's in Legion of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the theme is Countercharge.
Sure. The Countercharge list, I actually think, has game into Tharn.
Yeah.
Just because... Because
you're dealing with killing their stuff before they can...
Yeah, Call,
as they come into Tharn.
Correct.
Call's biggest defensive ability is Tree Walker. That if you have that magical central forest, he just charges through the forest and kills you. But he is what's his armor? Is 17 or 16?
17 armor?
17.
Yeah. So I mean, he is tough, but with only eight boxes, there are a lot of countercharging models that can just kill him.
Yeah, especially like a countercharge, anything countercharging, and that's probably the. The proper one, as much as I really want to have that that Colden solo for the Warcaster attachment, is he out yet?
Yes, he is legal as of Friday.
No. Okay, I need to go to Pegasus.
No.
Damn it. As much as I really want him to be in a list, I think my proper choice is still going to be Reinhold. in that in my Old Witch Wolves of War list.
Yeah. Oh, just for the stealth.
Just so I can knock stealth off and then hit him with whoever it is with a scourge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, as long
Old
as
Witch actually has some trolls into Tharn as well, mm-hmm. because it turns out they really don't want to be blinded.
Yeah, and the reload with Old Witch is pretty good too. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's yeah.
So
I mean, that's part of it.
Definitely have some tools.
Okay.
Is that they have very little in the way of magic defense. Tharn hate to be on fire. Anything that can auto hit them, because one of the really seriously good things Iona does is so the Ravagers, which are typically the core of most Devourer's mm-hmm. host lists, are Def 13 base, which is decent. They have Tree Walker, which puts them up to 15. I mean, they get the concealment and it puts them up to 15 to melee in a forest, and then Surefoot on top of that. So the forward unit can theoretically be Def 17 dodge. And at Def 17 dodge, you basically, unless you're boosting the attack, it's often not worth taking it, because if you miss, which you are very likely to do if you can't boost the attack, then Iona gets to move one of her models during your turn. And there can be a lot of negative consequences to that. And so, I mean, to get around that, stuff that auto hits is going to be good for that. Like,
you were talking about that, but I think a good counter that may be unseen is a Durgan list. Durgan with an Earthbreaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just dropping out four-inch AoEs with that thing that automatically set everything on fire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Plus has got stuff that ignores their cover, their defense abilities. It ignores cover. I don't think it ignores the rest of them.
I don't think so. But I mean, Carpet Bomb doesn't need to directly hit.
Yeah. Carpet Bomb doesn't need to directly hit, but
Case Cracker.
But I mean, I'm talking about the Earthbreakers AoEs.
But yeah, I mean, that's also one of the other tilting abilities that Ravagers have is rapid healing, which mm-hmm. means that if they are damaged and they survive, they heal a D3, and that only happens from enemy attacks, so fire doesn't cause that.
Oh, sure. So that doesn't trigger it. That's cool.
And I mean, also things like Harbinger's Feet won't trigger their rapid healing because it's not an attack.
Cast Gimps,
yeah. So, I mean, Iona is really good. I think she is slightly overrated. I mean, I think the Lord of the Feast is broken. I think Call is broken, maybe not as much as the Lord of the Feast. But I mean, Iona is in an amazing position in the meta right now, because most of the rest of the meta has decided that defense as a stat is useless, and Iona comes in and says, oh, let's see about that. And it just brings a lot of medium to high defense stuff, and with having dodge as a leadership ability, it's not only has a defense stat protectively, but then can punish you for not being able to hit.
So also, you need to go think back to Mark II, like era 2011. Like, how did you deal with Iron Flesh Chaosy or Iron Flesh Wintergard?
But I usually just Durgan them.
If that answer can still handle stuff with five wounds, you probably have a good idea of how to deal with the center part of the list.
Yeah. I mean, that was pretty much what I did. Is I just laid on a couple carpet bombs and shit was on. Also, make sure, I guess, if you're taking them on in a tournament, when they do their dodge rolls, to have the clock over to them.
Yeah.
Make sure you do that. Even though they're going to say they're going to be so quick, make sure you tap it over to them, because that's their models, their time.
I'll say dodge almost always needs to be clock flip, just because it always takes longer than you think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though it's 2 inches, it's still.
It's usually very important 2 inches. So I've almost always found when I am the person with dodge that I would rather have it on my clock, so I actually think about where I move them, as opposed to, oh, I'll just slide them back. Oh, look, I opened the lane.
Yeah. Yeah, and
Makeda 3, to be honest, I have not played against her at all, so I only have theoretical knowledge, and I don't want to.
I have one game into Makeda 3, but it was Krios 1, and I think Krios 1 is actually one of the better lists to play into Makeda 3. Because, I mean, a big part of Makeda 3's game, in addition to she just does infinite damage because of Insight, a big part of her game is that personally she does a lot of work. She murders warriors. She murders anything that she can kill on her feet turn. She can Pac-Man through a ton of stuff. But a big part of her shtick is that personally she is extremely difficult to kill. Because she can stack a ton of defensive abilities. I mean, she has
Rid of tough.
She has battle. She has a spell that gets rid of tough. She has battle driven personally. She has bulwark available, so she can drop that on a battle group model that is difficult to kill. Stand next to it, become immune to knockdown, and get +2 defense, which on a warcaster is a lot because she is 14 defense base.
15.
What do you normally see her with then?
Imperial Warhost or Exalted.
Okay. So, Imperial Warhost seems to have the edge in number of lists coming out,
but not by much.
But not by much, no.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried about seeing her at the event too, but
I mean, keep in mind on top of that, she can have a Kriya standing behind her to give her extra defense against shooting. She can have an Agonizer standing behind her to give her extra defense against melee. And if she has a Razor Worm in her battle group, which is not uncommon in the Imperial Warhost lists, she can Spiny on top of that and get up to like an effective armor of around 22, which makes her extremely difficult to kill.
Until you purify all.
And I'm saying, it says, it's like, this is why I like Krios into it, because if I play Krios with double Judicators, I give her no warriors to surf through and can take away all of her defensive abilities, knock her down, and just shoot her to death, which is what I did in the game I played into her.
And her two buddies are in her battle group, correct?
Yes.
Correct. Yeah, that's what I thought.
So they trigger both Bulwark and benefit from Deathbringers.
Okay. Yeah, and I mean, they are also shield guards that can be used to trigger Battle Driven on her, which is just really dirty.
So then thinking about this in two, I feel that my Karchev list would actually have game against this then too, because that while they're wading through, they could possibly get hit by a countercharging something that has an explosive tip on his thing.
And importantly, countercharge triggers mid-move, which heightens the chance that the model moving is not currently bulwarked.
Yeah.
Correct. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Also, Karchev is one of those lists that is just like, cool, you can stack all the defense, I still hit hard enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I just the only reason I want a Karchev is I want countercharge everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, Eris two should have game into Makeda because Eris two's if you played in Legion of Steel with the Spiteful Seven, you're going to have enough countercharges that lists that anticipate sending battle group models forward to do damage are going to have trouble into that much precision strike countercharge. And you got the added bonus that you play decently into Iona because you can ignore forests too.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, if I were playing Kador, I think in the current meta, I would 100% have Eris two Legion of Steel, especially because the Greylord Adjunct is coming out Friday.
This past Friday.
This past Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The Greylord Adjunct is just amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, with Old Witch 2, he basically makes it so your Scourges have a base level of 15 inches.
Yeah.
And so that's dangerous, 21 inches.
It's a really good 8-inch range spell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, and I mean that was my when I was playing Eris 2 as my main list. My primary issue was not necessarily the lack of availability of magic weapons, but the opportunity cost for it, and the Greylord Adjunct mostly takes that away.
Are you that worried about magic weapons that much anymore?
It's less so now, but when I was playing Eris 2, Krix was really big into the meta, and Dini 2. I don't know, not a lot of people play Dini 2, but she's still terrifying.
Sure.
And if you don't have magic weapons, she just eats your lunch.
Yeah.
Well, and even the promise. So the normal way otherwise of dealing with it with Rust 2 is you boost an airburst. Like, especially for against Grimkin, is you boost an airburst and then the Gremlin swarm goes away.
Gremlin be gone is the spell.
The problem is then Rusk has a one camp.
Yeah.
And then I immediately start looking for assassination vectors.
Yeah.
And it's not easy, but it's significantly easier to assassinate a Rusk when he's camping one than when he's normally camping like four and going, why do I have focus seven?
It is almost better for the Iros player just to let the stupid Gremlin Swarm go do its thing.
Correct.
Than to give away all your focus.
He can be the easiest model to kill in that list.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I guess those are the two the two current boogeymen. I mean, I have been playing a lot of Krios 1 lately, and I think Krios 1 is horribly underrated and underappreciated.
He was all through Mark 2.
Sure. Being because he is the original Protectorate caster, and he is boring as hell.
He's still, yeah. But he's still, amazingly good. I believe, has every single thing that he had in Mark One. I think it's pretty.
He has gained 2 armor since Mark One, and that is, and he has lost 3 inches on his feet because you could no longer charge your own models. I think that is the sum total of changes to Kraos One since 2004.
That makes sense. Yeah. Yep,
because he's gained an armor every edition, I believe, and his feet is slightly less threatening, but
he's just a really good caster overall.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I just love having all of these tools and then the ability. It's like, oh, you stepped out of the kill box. You're going to die now.
But yeah,
So I'm pretty happy with Kraos 1 into either Iona or Makeda 3. I mean, it's not a slam dunk. Although, if the center of the board is barren, I think Kraos 1 is very good into Iona, because it kind of gets down to if the Iona player can hide their shaman, because if I can get one of my redeemers on the shaman, I feat, and Iona completely loses a turn.
I suppose True Sight doesn't affect forests anymore, does it?
Correct.
So, okay.
Bird's Eye, Arusk's Feet, Tree Walker,
Sevi 2,
Awareness are the only 4 things that still ignore force.
Ignore forces. So I was thinking that you could have
Phantom Hunter
ignores everything.
Yeah.
So technically correct.
But yes, technically yes, it does.
So yes, if you're playing Retribution, fit Kalissa into your rotation, because then you can just murder
the importance in there too.
Sure. Yeah. Yes, I fully support replacing Gorshade 4 with Kalissa.
No, you pair Gorshade 4 with Kalissa.
Do not listen to the person behind the curtain.
We don't have a curtain down here yet.
Damn it. Get a curtain.
No, you pair Kalissa with Gorshade 4. And they can play almost the same list effectively, too.
No.
Because that is what everybody needs in their life, is more harpies.
I will be much happier for many things from Grimkin as soon as the CID stuff comes out.
Oh.
Like, as of now, I do not have a good answer that does not involve player skill for Tharn in Grimkin.
Yeah.
It pains me to say this, but once piggybacks come out, I actually do have a numbers-based answer for them.
Yeah.
And also, Naslayers also help out significantly against a lot of stuff because they out-threat it. The Clocktresses go live on Friday, and that does help a lot already. There's actually some anecdotal evidence already of Clocktresses by themselves actually making Circle a playable matchup again.
Mm-hmm.
Because turns out Paralysis is really good into Circle. Except for Bones, but honestly, Bones has never been a great drop into Grimkin.
Yeah.
So.
Sorry, I was going to add some other things. I was not being participative.
Oh, no.
Participating in the conversation.
Talking to Grimkin, and soon the CID stuff will be out. Soon enough, the CID stuff will be out. And while I have not yet forgiven PP for making me build a second unit of piggybacks, I will play the hell out of them.
Yeah. We have this team event, and I'm sticking on Protectorate until then. I may jump to Retribution or Kador or Circle after that. We'll see.
So we have a question from chat. Arctic Circle wants to know, has the fear of power creep become more or less of a thing in the game? So let us first, and this is actually interesting, because David and I think you were in that conversation as well the other night on Discord.
I think so, yeah.
We're discussing this, and there are 2 types of power creep that need to be looked at in the game. You have... Okay. For lack of a better term, I'll say there's vertical power creep, where a list just becomes obviously powerful. The single best example of this I can think of is Mark II Gatsby 2, where a single list can easily answer 70% of the meta.
Sure.
And that single list I think Gatsby had 2 hard counters, like true hard counters. And everything else was, you know, there could be stuff, but it would still be a hard game for his opponent
Even the hard counter for Gatsby 2 back in the day, that list would basically be useless against most other things. Anyway.
Correct. Oh. Yep. So that's vertical power creep. Another example of this would be, what was the list pair? There was a list pair that got nerfed like a year ago. I'm trying to remember what it was, but it just, between the two of them, it answered everything possible in the meta. There was always a correct answer to drop.
Well, wasn't that the ghost ship Ghost Fleet?
Yes, it was
Ghost Fleet and
it was Denny One Ghost Fleet and Coven Dark Host.
Yeah.
Was a good another good example of vertical power creep where there was a defined answer for anything you could drop into it. There was a good choice and you could force an advantage list matchup. You know, stuff like that is not healthy for the game. I'm not even going to equivocate it. The second type of power creep is horizontal power creep. And that's where your breadth of options become much wider. And you don't necessarily have any standouts, but you have choices. I think Kador is actually a really good example of this right now, where with the latest CID changes, all five of their themes have multiple viable lists.
I would say Circle as well. It kind of expanded a little bit.
Circle doubled what they can play usefully. They still have some stuff, like Wild Host is still not great. Like they have caster who can like one or two casters that can juice it up, but those casters still would do better in other choices. Secret Masters is pretty good. Devourer Host is good. Bones is good.
I mean, Devourer's Host and Bones are up there with the best themes in the game. And Secret Masters, especially with the Morvana one changes, is competitive, and Call is competitive.
Yeah. So, like I said, it's one of those things where, you know, they're getting there. They still have one theme that's not the greatest. But, I mean, and then, like, Signar, on the other hand, is a good example of a faction that does not have very good horizontal spread right now, where if you are playing Signar competitively, you need to really be able to answer the question, why am I not playing Haley 3?
Yeah.
Sure. They're running into basically what Crix was running into back in the day. It was like, I should just be playing this caster because this caster is easily the best option for me.
Correct. With the difference being, unlike Gatsby 2, where as long as you can remember the phrase, I walk up, I excarnate, I win.
Correct.
Haley 3 is horrendously difficult to play.
Yes.
Yeah. So they have a good list, but it is...
I mean, honestly, that's the saving grace for Gorshade 4 right now, is that, if anything, he may be more difficult to play than Haley 3. And but those two casters are right up there at the top of the difficulty scale.
I'm willing to bet you, though, that Gatsby 4 is a lot more fun to play with and against,
Gorshade
potentially.
4? Gorshade 4?
What did I say?
You said Gatsby 4.
I did say Gatsby 4 would be pretty awesome to play, too, if he would come out. Wait. Is he?
No, Gorshade 4. I have played both of them. Gorshade 4 is more fun to play than Haley 3, yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, Haley 3 is basically just I've got a bunch of trenchers. I'm walking up with a cloud wall. You can't do anything.
I would rather do yard work than play Haley 3.
and against Haley 3.
I mean, Gorshade 4
I don't mind playing into Haley 3 as Haley 3. I do not enjoy that game at all. Just because it requires perfect precision, and I cannot do that for multiple rounds in a tournament.
Yeah. And also, Gorshade 4 is just curiously mirrors Haley 3 in a lot of ways. That his toolbox is a little deeper, but he has a lot of the same abilities Haley 3 does.
He could summon former versions and future versions of himself?
Yeah.
Because that would be amazing. Yeah.
I want like Mark II Gorshade 1 back. No, you do not get a feat this game.
Shadowmancer?
Yeah. Yep.
Is it Shadowmancer?
I think so.
I've got a phone that has more room loaded on it, so I can find out.
Anyway, back to the power creep. So there's horizontal power creep, which means that stuff that the average gets better. There's vertical power creep, which means the best stuff in the game gets better. You have to distinguish between the two, because vertical power creep is usually bad, and horizontal power creep is almost always good.
Correct.
Yeah, because your opening options.
Yeah, because I mean, this is one of the things I think a lot of people miss, is that what CID is supposed to do, and so what CID is about four out of five times does what it's supposed to, is it comes out with a new theme that has a new build or two or three that all of a sudden are competitive at the top of the game, and adding new stuff that is competitive at the top of the game is good for the game.
Correct.
And because now you have a wider variety, you're going to see more stuff. And just because humans being humans, the latest stuff that comes out is always going to be the new shiny, and tons of people are going to flock to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're always going to see, when something comes out of CID and is competitive at the top of the game, it is going to be overrepresented for a few months.
Correct. Which is also good for PP, because then they can still eat.
They have to sell models. But I mean, shaking up the meta by adding new stuff that is competitive at the top level of the game is a good thing.
Correct. It feels awkward when people, because I think there are still people out here who are still trying to regain that ability in Mark II of being able to advantage significantly advantage themselves at list creation time.
Yeah.
And horizontal, like vertical power creep actually is very good if you are trying to solve the game at list creation, both if it's your stuff or if it's someone else's. Because it means you have a predictable subset you need to play against because there are the correct answers in every faction.
With an ever-developing game, too, at least I found when I was building lists, I wouldn't have taken my two Kador lists a year ago.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because at that time, the big bad boogie was Signar. Signar gunlines. They would rip apart my lists like no one's business. Now it's not really that that big of a factor.
Yeah. But like I said, that's the one downside is if you're trying to solve this game at list creation time, horizontal power creep is awful because you have to account for many more things, or you just have to accept that there are lists that you are going to have to outplay on the tabletop.
And, the horrors.
And like I said, that can be an uncomfortable thing for people. You know?
Yeah. And that said, I mean, when I said CID has been successful about 4 out of 5 times, I mean, most of the CIDs provide a new build for that faction that is competitive at the top end of the game and that is seen and played. Mm-hmm. What it's not supposed to do is bring a new boogeyman, a new best list in the game.
Correct. And I will say, you know, with absolute certainty, we have not had anything come out of the level of original Una 2.
Yes. I mean, and realistically, if we're strictly talking about vertical power creep, I mean, if we're still talking about vertical power creep, I don't think anything in the game is as powerful as original Una 2, as pre-nerf Ghost Fleet, as pre-nerf Haley 2.
As pre-nerf Gatsby 2.
Yeah, I mean, this is. I mean, even in Mark III, I mean, nothing. Oh, sure. I mean, nothing in Mark III compares to Mark II, Gatsby II. And I mean, this was honestly, I think one of the problems with Mark II is that you could build that Gatsby II list the 2 weeks after Mark II came out. Because, I mean, there were a few...
I mean, he got nerfed 4 times and was still the best caster in Mark II.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was basically the entirety of Mark II was the Gatsby II playground because there were, like, two models in the official Gatsby II list that weren't in Forces of Krix. But, so, I mean...
Actually, that list... Because also the Blood Witch got nerfed pre-release. And let's see what else...
Well, there's a ton of... You're talking about from Gatsby 2 to Mark 2 to Mark 3?
Yeah, like I said,
Gatsby hit by like 7 nerfs.
No. During Mark 2, the Blood Witch got nerfed once before she even came out.
Yep.
Gatsby got nerfed 3 or 4 times.
Yep, he lost the large base ability. He lost...
Incorporeal.
He also lost the scenario. Eventually, because the big scenario that he wanted to have is the No Man's...
The Bar of Doom.
Yeah, the Bar of Doom in the center of the table. That when the Steamroller got re-rolled, it nerfed him there.
Also, he lost the ability to bring back solos.
Characters. Which was brought upon by Crippled System and our associates. The ability to contest but not... Or the ability to control but not contest.
Correct.
That hurt him as well.
Yeah, but... Even after all, I think we've listed 6 changes in Mark II, he still was the best caster in Mark II.
Pretty much.
So
And didn't even need a feat.
Correct. And then they hit him 7 times on the way down in Mark III, and then he was trashed for 6 months.
Oh.
And he's seeing play again, isn't he?
He is.
He's not terrible.
He's fine. I actually enjoyed playing him with just a whole bunch of Banes. It's fun. It's just the difference... is now Gatsby actually fears infantry.
Sure.
Which is fine. He should have weaknesses. It just, as a recovering Mark II Krix player, it still is kind of twitchy sometimes because I'm like, but my bio thralls.
As a recovering alcoholic, a Krixaholic.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I think there are about half a dozen casters that at one point in Mark III are, that at their height in Mark III are stronger than anything right now. Original Wormwood, original Nemo 3.
For Mark 3.
Yeah, for Mark. Yep. I mean, for Mark 3, there are about a half a dozen builds that were stronger. Karchev, original Karchev.
Sure.
Sloan as well.
Sloan was a boogeyman at the very beginning. She was a different problem. Yeah.
She wasn't objectively powerful. Her problem was she would have killed this game from a play perspective, from a list.
I think original Sloan would be okay in the meta right now because of, I mean, it's maybe.
like I said, I don't think her problem was ever like a hard, this list is bad for the game. It's just this play style is bad for the game.
Yeah.
The problem is that's most of Signar's play style is bad for the game.
No, I mean, that was exactly, the thing with Nemo 3 is that Nemo 3 is still a really powerful caster. It's just that after he feats, he's now vulnerable.
I'm just glad people think he's trash.
I'm there with you.
I'm perfectly fine, too. Yeah. I mean, he can still do all the shit he did before.
Sure, you just need to make sure that you actually kill the stuff now.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
I mean, that and you can't use your own army to basically just be immune to and kill shit. Now you have to plan it.
Yes. Yeah.
But that said, the current Devourer's Host build is probably over the top. The Judicator is probably over the top.
Nemo 3 might be a really good answer for the Tharn.
Yes. As long as you hit stuff once, lots of things die.
Yeah.
Actually, some people are trying that again.
Okay.
Yeah, Nemo
Damn
3
it,
should be.
I don't
be.
Want that.
Nemo 3 should
infantry.
Be getting into Tharn.
Come on, you probably own all that.
What, all Nemo ship? Yeah. No, I don't own it. I have some Signar, not enough.
I would offer to sell you Jake's, but I think you finally sold it, so...
I wouldn't buy it. I unfortunately made the decision. I decided I was going to buy Kofut's his Cephalix.
Oh, okay.
Which means
I was going to say I was waiting for him to part out the scorn because I may pick up some of that.
Hold that thought.
But yeah, there are some rumors going around that a handful of the top models, and I think there are less than half a dozen models that actually need to be looked at. The Lord of the Feast is the top on the list, and if for nothing else, because the Lord of the Feast is a horrible negative play experience.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't played against him, so I can't really say, but from what I have heard that came out of the CID is that he is just, he's a monster. He's a finger of God monster.
Like I said, I still think the only thing you need to do to make him fine is give him back 1-inch reach instead of 2-inch reach. Because that single change means single shield guards actually mean something.
Okay. So what's the big bad on him then?
So he's got 2-inch reach, a required thresher. He can have up to 3 corpses, and he gets +1 strength and armor for every corpse.
Okay.
And then he still has the bird teleport ability.
Yep.
You combo that with a solo that sacks another model in your army and gives him divine inspiration, so it's not as important.
Do that.
You use the Gator Crockpot to fill him up 3 corpses before he goes in. You use the Mistbeaker to give him Eyeless Sight. And if you are playing Grail, who is the second best Tharncaster right now,
because of this,
you give him Storm Ranger, and he comes in swinging at Mat 10, POW 18, signs importance.
It's higher than...
All right, I'm changing my army for next weekend. No.
It's 18.
It's only 18? Okay, yep.
18's enough because you're also swinging the back arc of something most likely.
Yeah.
Oh, dual attack on there too, with being able to throw out his bird.
Yep. But like I said, and with 2-inch reach, he can thresher into 4 or 5 things, and he can do a ton of damage, and like Grail can, if he feats, can move him around. But like I said, if you change it so he's 1-inch reach, a single shield guard can intercept his shot, and if you've spaced well, then it stops you from hitting the original target.
Sure.
Right now, if you shield guard it with a single shield guard, all you do is move the direction of the attack, which leads to really weird things like the Krabbit running in front of your piggybacks so that you shield guard the model in front so he's hitting at the shield instead of the back arc.
Yeah.
So, but like I said...
when he's placed, does he have to be placed in melee with the target that he's in there?
He or... is placed base to base with the model that he hits with the bird.
Okay, but I mean, he... he could be like back to back with the model that he hits. Okay, so it doesn't matter.
But like I said, making it so that a single shield guard means something, I think will give people counterplay without toning down the rest of him. Because I honestly think the rest of him is fine, because you're also stacking like 30 points of your army on to make him the best. And,
sure.
You know, that should kill stuff. But it's just the thing that, like, some Grimkin lists and Convergence are the only things that can effectively control him right now, I think is the problem.
Well, I'd play Resnick 2 into that, because if you have Madeline, he can't hurt your models.
Yeah, and yeah, the 2 models with Parlay are also okay.
Yeah.
But like I said, you know, anything that has a single digit or a single hand number of countermeasures to it is not necessarily good.
Yeah.
But I think that one change...
Yeah, I mean,
makes it much better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Lord of the Feast is too far off rules wise, but he needs a little.
He
bit
needs
of
to lose
down.
One thing, and I think reach is the easiest thing to take away.
And I mean, I am considering running. I'll also say that I hate to say it, but the Judicator is probably on the list too. And part of the evidence for that is I am considering taking two double Judicator lists to the team tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't want to take two Colossals in both of your lists. I mean, there shouldn't be an argument for that.
I mean, you know, the one thing about the Judicator where I think it might be okay is there are certain lists that are just fine with that. Like my child list would gladly play against that. You know, I don't want to deal with the other one. But
yeah.
I mean, that's the thing is there are at least answers to a Judicator once you know how to play into them.
Yeah. I mean, the big reason I think the Judicator is too strong is not that it has good builds in Protectorate. It's just that it warps Protectorate list building. That in there are so many times I look at Protectorate lists and it's like, okay, and it's like, I can do better by replacing this battle group with the Judicator just pretty much across the board. I mean, the Harpy is exactly the same way in Rhett, except I don't think the Harpy is as strong as the Judicator.
It's because they actually have they're good, but they still have things. Once Gareth 2 comes out, I might revise that statement, but I have another month for that shit.
Yeah. Oh, I'm looking forward to Gareth 2 coming out.
All right. Well, we have just talked for 40 minutes about War Machine.
We talked more than that. It's about 50-some minutes of War Machine.
That's scary.
Which is fine. Yep. I'm perfectly fine with that. I think we held up a decent conversation.
We did actually have good conversation. However,
That
is true. And since this is Crippled System, now let's go off the deep end.
All right.
All right. Our very own Arctic Circle asks, if you could prevent any one movie from being made, what movie would it be?
Dune.
And again, we need the second. And again, we need the second camera here.
If there's anything that's going to stop Dune from being made, it's because they're going to run out of money because they hired everyone correctly.
That was totally a troll answer, by the way. I knew that would get two people at the table. Mm-hmm. If Nathan would just flat out punched me.
He would hit you with the hammer.
Yeah. I mean, I hope he's not listening right now, or he may be on the way.
It would not be the first time Nathan got so angry he drove to the podcast.
Yeah. Never forget the Topper's Pizza. I don't even.
Yeah. Let's see, a movie that I'd want to stop from being made. Wait, hold on. Arctic Circle, you are in chat. Do me a favor. Current movie or past movie?
Oh, so yeah, there's a time machine. There's a time machine involved here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we? Yeah. Well, we couldn't do Star Trek V. Even though that movie's not that bad. It's the worst of the original series.
But I thought it's even numbered Star Treks are good.
Even numbered Star Treks are good, except for 3. 3 is necessary for the Spock trilogy.
Yeah, correct, 3 is good.
3 is good. The even ones are good. 1 and 5 are the not so great ones.
Yeah.
And 1 is mostly just because it's a pre-Star Wars movie. Or a pre-Star Wars pacing movie.
No, it came out after Star Wars.
Sure, but it's paced like 2001.
Correct. No. It is. Do you like seeing shots of the Enterprise? Oh, by the way, do you still like seeing more shots of the Enterprise? Do you like that 5-minute flyby of just the dish in the front? Yeah, there's a lot of long shots, and just Spock and Kirk. Movies that are being made.
See, I don't know. I don't know that I can answer this because most of the movies that are too terrible to exist, I actually gain pleasure shitting on. Like Battlefield Earth is. I have gained more enjoyment out of Battlefield Earth complaining and talking to people about how terrible it was than I have watching lots of mediocre movies.
Most of the time, I forget about the movie. If I've seen it, I forget about the movie very soon afterwards, and then it's hard for me to think of it. Unless we've done some kind of in-depth thing, like Dracula Untold was a horrible, horrible movie.
Okay, no, I've got an answer. I do have a serious answer.
Mm-hmm.
Frozen.
Yeah.
Because it was just okay, and people won't stop talking about it.
Frozen 2 is coming out.
Yeah.
My point, exactly.
Hey,
hold on. I know a movie we could stop from being made. Aladdin. Please, God, make that stop before it comes out. Honestly, any new Disney live-action fucking film needs to be stopped before it's made.
Jungle Book was good.
Jungle Book was good, but that had elements of you know,
an the original actual, story.
Original yeah. story in that. And I don't. We don't really need a full CGI version of The Lion King. We don't really need that. I mean, they're removing half the songs, the good stuff in it. It's I might like Dumbo though, but
I mean that's only because it'll be less painful to watch.
Yes, and a lot less racism.
Yeah,
because the crows are not going to be in the new version. but that song though is that baby song. Oh God, are you looking through movies right now and trying to?
There's a specific 9/11 truther movie, but I can't remember what the title is. But I lost like an hour of my life on the Reddit conspiracy board today because I couldn't believe people were that dumb.
They believed it was true, or
no? Just... This was someone arguing that only Tower 7's failure was a government conspiracy, but Towers 1 and 2 fell because planes actually flew into them. So not only were the normal people trying to explain to them how engineering works. Then you had the really nut job ones who were angry at him because he believed that Towers 1 and 2 were actually taken down by a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
Yes, loose change 9/11. That's the one. Thank you, Jim. So, like I said, I lost like an hour of my life to that.
Oh, I don't. I can't. It hurts.
Yeah, it hurt.
It really hurts.
You can attest to me yelling at Quimby for it. So.
Is he a believer?
No.
Okay.
Jake, however, is probably one of the most well-informed people about conspiracy theories and theorists I know.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, he's spent done, a chunk of his degree on studying conspiracy theories.
Yeah. I mean, in order for a conspiracy theory to work, it actually—I don't know. It bothers me that how many people have to be involved in a conspiracy for it to actually work, like the moon landing. You figure there would be somebody, anybody involved in that.
In the 500,000 people required for the Apollo program to successfully work.
Yeah.
For it to stay quiet. And the
best part of this is that there's substantial overlap between that particular type of conspiracy theorists and also the group that says the government cannot do anything right. it's like just the sheer sheer amount of cognitive dissonance required to believe both of those two things at once.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, this is sort of the thing about that. I mean, people believe that global warming is a global conspiracy of scientists, and I'm a scientist, and I think these people
we're not organized well enough.
Yeah, it's like I think the people that believe this have never actually met a scientist, and more so than that, I'm certain they have never ever seen two scientists in the same room, because. If you have two scientists talking about something together, you have trouble agreeing on the answer. If you add a third scientist, you have trouble agreeing on what the question was.
Sure, and or so what the nature of the question was.
And if there's four, then you have massive disagreements on what the words mean.
Yeah, and so this is, just the idea that you could have a conspiracy of that many scientists around the world is absurd if you have ever encountered an actual scientist doing science.
I think your discussion though about previously is the amount of people that would have to agree upon and keep something secret for like the moon landing and be that organized and that trustworthy of each other to keep it a secret that we didn't land on the moon, we filmed it in some stage in Nevada or some shit. Oh my God, that's astronomical.
To a great Futurama joke though. Where they're like, take the remains to Area 51. But sir, that's where we're making the moon landing set. Well, fine. We'll actually land on the moon. Invent NASA.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. Yep. All right.
And our final...
Do we even discuss a movie other than
Frozen, Aladdin, and Loose Change 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
All right. Like, all three of those, like, Frozen, maybe not, but, I mean, Aladdin and Loose Change 9/11 could be removed from existence, and the human race would be better. Aladdin 2019. Yeah.
If we had that time machine, I would like to go back in time and also try to erase all of the conspiracy theory Jesse Ventura, if I could. Because I like Jesse Ventura. I usually like his I don't really that much like him anymore.
The problem is Libertarian Jesse Ventura might be required for Minnesota to actually turn blue.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was their wake-up moment of what the hell did we just do?
He was not that bad a governor, though.
He was just weird.
Yeah.
Like,
and then he was
no Scott Walker, but.
No, God, no. He was definitely no Scott Walker. But, yeah, I also got annoyed by his detractors that kept on. Like, on his day off, it was a Sunday, he decided to go do commentary for a wrestling pay-per-view that was happening in La Crosse, which is just over the border of Minnesota. And they gave him so much shit for doing something that he enjoyed on his day off.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Zappity.
All right. And finally, if you could shapeshift into any animal at will, what would you be?
Pangolin.
Cat.
It's no secret that Crippled System, or at least Nathan and myself, have an undying love for the pangolin.
Yeah. I get
it. I need more ants, though. There needs to be more ants here.
That's the advantage of shifting into a cat. Like, they've already successfully co-opted most of humanity to worship them in some form or another.
I guess if I didn't... Yeah, that's good too. Well,
I'll go for a raccoon because they're kind of like a cat, except they always look like they're having more fun.
Yeah, but if you give them cotton candy, they're going to try to wash it and they get really, really sad. Yeah, I'd still like a pangolin. A cat would mean that you don't have to go outside anymore.
Yeah.
Potentially.
That sounds wonderful, right?
Yeah, go poop in a box.
Mm-hmm. And then make someone else pick your shit up.
Yeah.
And you get to yell at them the entire time and say bad words at them, and they'll just think it's adorable.
Yeah.
And they feed you, and you can sit on their face, and they're like, oh, so adorable.
Hmm. No, I don't let my cat sit on my face.
I'm not saying that I enjoy my cat doing that, but it's one of those things like, this is cutely annoying, not like a dog where you're like, I'm going to die if you don't move.
Yeah.
And they also smell slightly better when wet than a dog. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, dogs. Wet dogs are the worst. I was going to check Twitter just to make sure. I don't think we had any things on Twitter. Was that it that we had on the Facebooks? Were you looking at weather now?
Let me double check to make sure no one snuck anything else in. Doesn't look like it. Facebook wants to know our business phone number.
We don't have a business phone number.
I know, but that's the only other Zappity Grumble question. I think the answer is Zappity.
Grumble!
Take that, Facebook.
Yay! So, I guess we're off to the recommendations, then.
Why are you looking at me? I have a 3-year-old. I don't have time for recommendations.
You guys, I already know what you guys' recommendations are.
What?
Because on consoles, 1.1 is released.
Oh, you're correct. I recommend Dead Cells 1.1. Andy, feel special I'm here. I thought about canceling just because that came out.
Dead Cells 1.1 is really good. Okay, let me rephrase
it. I thought about canceling it because Dead Cells 1.1 was out and it was snowing out.
Yeah, yeah. I was wondering about people's opinions were about driving out.
Yeah, I thought about canceling when I was on the on-ramp to Stoughton Road. And then I was like, yeah, I may just call Andy. It's like, okay, but I got up to the top of this, so I think I can make it the rest of the way.
But it's all super lights, though.
Sure. I will be happy about that tomorrow when I shovel.
Yeah, it's super light snow, but it's also like 25 degrees, which is like the worst possible temperature for super light snow for driving on.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems like all the plows have today off.
Uh-huh. Yeah, probably. Because they think it's because it's a late snow. You'll just push it out of the way.
And it's Sunday.
Yep. No one gives a shit. They're off doing commentary for WWE pay-per-view.
Yeah, but then you're in La Crosse.
Yeah, that's true, too. I don't want to be there.
Well, I mean, according to Kerr, there's like two good bars and a good Chinese place. So,
according to Kerr, every single place has got a good Chinese place.
I mean, that sounds like a typical college town.
Platteville had a good Chinese place when I had a budget of like $5 to go out to eat.
Sure. Yeah,
sounds like a college town, yes.
Because then the Chinese buffet was the best value in town. Although they did have some super efficient wait staff. One time one of my friends sat down with his plate of food, and then we got caught up in a conversation, and he looked down, and his plate was gone already. Because they're just like, oh, he's obviously not eating it anymore.
They just stole his food?
Yeah,
It was a buffet, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then he got another plate, but he just was so sad when he looks. Because he just looks down and his plate's gone.
I haven't played that much Dead Cells since because I beat it like 2 weeks ago. And when I say beat it, I mean I killed the Hand of the King on 4 boss cells.
You are much further than I was.
Yeah, I actually, with 1-1, I finally got through Zero Cell.
Yeah, I was up to, two cells.
And so then I looked at, because I had 49 out of 53 achievements, and I looked at the remaining achievements, and there are a couple of them that should be pretty easy, like finish the game with one of the 2 starter weapons, or get killed by an elevator, which somehow I managed
Are you talking about, is that the get a kill with an elevator?
No, I have that one.
Okay.
I got that one completely accidentally because I was doing my typical tactics build of run away screaming when anything scary shows up and an elevator happened to kill it.
Is it the foundry or ossuary? You just accidentally get that one on the ossuary.
Yeah, well,
nine elevators.
Actually, it was in Promenade of the Condemned because honestly on 4 boss cells, that was like one of the hardest stage for me to get through.
I don't like going through Promenade, actually.
Promenade is not fun at all.
Too many spikes.
I go through Promenade because my standard build goes from there to Prison Depths, because if you go in Prison Depths, you get 2 extra scrolls going through that route as opposed to the other ones.
Sure, but you still get to deal with the warden instead of conjectivitis.
Yeah, but I'm saying
that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Warden is so much easier than conjunctivitis.
Yeah.
I have a hard time with.
Yeah, no, killing conjunctivitis without taking a hit was one of the achievements I don't have. But yeah, I specifically avoid him. No, I forget when I got it, but I somehow have the kill the Hand of the King without taking a hit. But I wasn't looking forward to trying to do that with conjunctivitis. So there was the 2 easy ones, which was finish the game with one of the starter weapons and get killed by an elevator. And then there was conjunctivitis without taking a hit, which I don't really want to do, and finish the game with a cursed sword, which I also don't really want to do. So,
although they're less annoying than they were,
yeah.
Oh, so it's not 1-hit death.
Yeah,
there's still 1-hit death.
Yeah.
Oh, that one. Sorry.
Yeah. Cursed sword is.
I was thinking cursed weapons, not cursed sword.
Oh, yeah. Those are definitely much better than what they were previously.
Yeah.
Oh, also friendly reminder: if you're playing on custom mode, you're much much more likely to get the chest of chickens.
What's the chest of chickens?
You know, the chest where instead of getting something good, you just get
a bunch of zombies. Oh,
all those fucking birds!
The zombie birds.
Hey, you know what sucks when you're accidentally cursed and you accidentally open up that thing?
Yeah,
because that's pretty much almost a guaranteed death.
Oh yeah, I mean this was also the thing of going through 4 ball cells as you get to the point that it's like, okay, I've got 17 hits left on my curse, and I just ran into an elite hammer, so I'm just going to go ahead and pull it because what's the worst that could happen?
Oh, farming hammers for the fucking whatever they had, it was annoying as hell too.
No,
because you would always be 1 item down because you would throw that stupid ball at him.
Oh. I was so angry because now that I'm on 1 cell, stuff has changed. So there's stuff to farm without going through half the game with 1 item down. So I'm like, okay, I'll start grabbing it again. The first thing I get to, I throw it at it. Then I accidentally kill the guy, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I need to grab the extractor, too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to suicide and restart.
But, yeah, it was just something like I beat it on 4 boss cells, and I was like, yeah, I think I'm done with this game until at least the next patch comes out. But yeah, I was looking at it because I was thinking maybe I can go and get actually 100% all the achievements, and then I'm like, no.
So well, you know what this means? You need to beat it with a shield.
Yeah, I haven't done that with a shield, though. Although I have gotten pretty decent with a shield because so one of the ways that they make the levels more difficult in higher stages is there are Inquisitors everywhere.
Oh, yeah, fuck Inquisitors.
Yeah, because they are everywhere.
They're the spell-slinger ones?
They're the spell, yeah.
Oh, God, those are annoying.
Yeah, they are in the path I take, they're in all but 1 stage. They're not in Prison Depths. I think that's it.
Yeah, they're in the first stage in higher boss levels.
Well, even in 1 cell,
yeah.
They're in
they
start showing up everywhere, and they're annoying as
hell. The prisoner's quarters are really difficult in 4 boss cells. I mean, honestly, the stages I had the most trouble with were Promenade of the Condemned was the worst, and then Prisoner's Quarters was the second worst, because you have nothing, and then you run into an elite zombie with 2 Inquisitors right off screen shooting at you, and it's like, okay.
The big guys that are in Sanctuary, I want to say?
Golems? I specifically avoid the Slumbering Sanctuary for that.
The big golems are can be that horrendous for you.
Yeah,
where they pull you towards you, and then they do the ground shaker, and you're like, oh, fuck, I'm dead.
Thankfully, usually by then, I have either really good turrets or the necklace that freezes enemies when they hit you.
I have literally not encountered one on anything other than zero boss cells, because after getting through that stage twice, I was like, nope, my routes from here on out will avoid this, because this is bullshit.
I love that stage, basically mainly because the music in that stage is so good.
I actually enjoy that one more than... what's the other one on the route? The Stilt City. I don't know why. Stilt City just annoys me.
Oh, the Pirate City?
Yeah.
I like the Pirate City. The stage I hate the most out of all of them is the Chase Lantern stage.
Yeah.
Which inevitably I will miss whatever path I was supposed to go, or the one lantern that I was supposed to hit in between the two lanterns.
Yeah, that is one of the things that I actively think is worse in 1.1 than 1.0, because in 1.0 the ability that made your skills come back faster works on the lamp you could get at the start of the start of the Sepulchre. So you can throw it. You can throw it a lot more.
Oh, I don't even. I never use it though. That's my problem. Yeah. That is like I walk around through.
I just usually at that point I have a good enough melee weapon that I can just grind through that stage. I don't mind that one at all.
I didn't like it because that was where I was farming the butchers or the axe throwers for that ability.
But starting in three boss, I mean, I did that through like 01, and I went through the Sepulchre through 01 and 2, but starting with 3, I just started going through the Clock Tower because it was easier. Because, I mean, the Clock Tower, it's like you only have to deal with the Grenadiers are the easy ones, the Bombardiers are the hard ones.
Ones that fire, then they split off into three.
Yeah, you only have to deal with them everywhere.
Yeah, they're annoying in the Clock Tower as well. Plus, there's too much spikes in the Clock Tower. So, my quick recommendation, I don't know if I have one. I started watching The Passage.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody watches Fox TV, it's basically about vampires. It's about a company that ends up finding a vampire, turns a guy into a vampire, and then them trying to, for some odd reason, deciding that they're going to try to take the blood strain from the vampires and use it as a cure-all for diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Which
always works out well.
Which, I mean, just saying that itself is like, I'm going to take the blood work from vampires and use that to cure all diseases.
This sounds like a great idea.
That sounds like a horrible idea.
Yes.
And a premise for a Fox TV show.
Yep.
It's not bad. It's
so
got
what you're saying is you're going to enjoy all six episodes of before it gets canceled.
There's six episodes right now. We've watched four of them so far.
Yeah.
There are so many bad plot holes in there, too, because basically they're finding out the weird part, kind of spoilers. They are injecting the vampire virus into death row people before they were going to be executed. They, you know, rescue them from prison, and then they inject them with the virus thing. And they find out as the person is getting, whoever they get is younger, that it has a longer state before they turn into a vampire. So they decide they're just going to kidnap a 10-year-old girl. And that's basically where the whole show starts off with, is with them trying to get a 10-year-old girl so they can inject her with the vampire strain. And, you know, hopefully she lives longer.
This sounds like this is the point where Chris Hansen should show up and tell you to sit down.
Kind of. The annoying part about it was, so they were looking for just one specific 10-year-old girl. They get their sights on this 10-year-old girl. They send Mark Paul Gosselaar after that 10-year-old girl.
Andy, you're going to get us demonetized again.
No. Mark Paul Gosselaar is fine. You know him, right? He was Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell. So anyway, they send him after the 10-year-old girl. He has a change of heart and then decides to save her from the bad guys. And then they send a giant team of people to go and kill
Mark Chris Hansen Gosselaar. One of them?
No. Chris Hansen's not part of this.
That sounds like better. A pedophile show.
Yeah. It could be, but it's not. The annoying part about the whole thing was the plot hole of, not the plot hole, but the plot part of bad guys really want this one girl for their experiments, But now she's been taken by Mark Paul Gosselaar, and they've sent teams.
He was okay.
Teams
you just
after,
said he took a 10-year-old girl.
Yes, he did. But they sent teams to go and retrieve her. Why don't they go and get another 10-year-old girl? It'd be so much easier just to get another 10-year-old girl. And then they were worried about them talking to the press and stuff. Just leave that team to go kill them and just get a new subject. Mm-hmm. That makes much more sense. Yeah. I don't know. But that's the logic that you have to deal with the show.
The episodes of this, I mean, the host of this episode of Cripple System would like to remind you that we are not in favor of taking 10-year-old girls.
Unless you're Mark Paul Gosselaar. Then you can. See, his little girl died, and so he's using her as a stand-in for
you're
his
not
little girl.
Your case,
not my case. This is Fox's show. It's okay.
that's your recommendation.
That's my recommendation.
It's okay.
Watch The Passage. It's okay.
I will recommend playing Apex Legends at least for a little bit because it hasn't been out long enough for the community to turn completely toxic. And that I am terrible at the game and have only been actually told I was garbage once, which is a refreshing change from every other online competitive multiplayer game I've ever played.
Played on PlayStation then? Or
PC.
PC?
Yeah.
Why aren't we friends? I would be happily be bad with you.
Yes, because I am terrible. Yeah, I mean,
I mean, it'd be great. We'd get in so many games in a half hour. We'd be waiting for the loading screens and such would take longer than our actual gameplay.
Yeah. No, if anybody wants to play with us, hit us up on Facebook because Andy and I will be terrible with someone else.
I'm just waiting for the time that we're just like, instead of actually doing a podcast, we're just going to do a group stream.
I mean, why don't we do that? I mean, we could sit there and talk. We can talk about War Machine and shit as we're playing Apex Legends.
While we wait for the loading screen.
Sure, yeah. And there's no driving required.
Yeah.
Why did we not think of this earlier this winter?
I don't know.
We can get that.
Because Nathan would just want us all to play Diablo.
Okay.
I don't want to play Diablo.
Yeah, but I mean, like, we could probably easily podcast over that.
We could. It'd be better than looking at Arch Schmucks. I don't know what word I just said, but
it fit.
It was a mug, sure. And probably shitty mugs. That's probably what Schmugs. We're also not a dragon from Lord of the Rings as well. Mm-hmm. That's Smaug.
Smaug.
Smug is the brother of Smaug.
It's the more charismatic one.
He doesn't live near Lake Town. He's over by like River Village or some shit. Mm-hmm. Are we going to end this? It seems like, or are you? Do you have a recommendation?
I already recommended.
Oh, you did.
Yeah. Dead Cells, yeah.
Yeah, we're all done with recommendations. Yeah. We should be done with this then.
We're out.
All right.
We're out. Sorry, guys, for the short podcast, but it's cold outside and it's snowing. We need to get home.
See y'all next week.
Bye. Yep, see you next week.